This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
In studio is the number one spokesperson for ED that I've ever met, Roy. Old Roy, how you doing?
Howdy.
Thanks for being here. You own Tulligan's Pub.
Yes.
In Highland, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And highly encourage you to check them out if you are looking for a great restaurant, but also a great pub, because it's a pub. It's a pub yep. atmosphere. You guys have done a great job of creating a really nice atmosphere.
Thank you.
There on the square in Highland. I wanted to bring this article up with you in particular because of being a pub owner. It says consumers have now been hit by what they call boycott fatigue as Bud Light bounces back. That's the headline.
Okay.
Now, I wanted to ask you, as a person who sells beer, have you seen the, well, tell the whole story. Like, it started in, what, April of this year, May, whatever that was.
Yeah.
When the Dylan Mulvaney thing happened. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, what did you see happen to Bud Light?
It just stopped. We couldn't give it away. We're in a fairly rural area, too, so it was exaggerated probably more than in the urban areas, but I mean, it literally just stopped on Bud Light. And there were people for a short time, there were people any Budweiser product,
really,
but then it kind of got to be, well, but we like Busch Light, and you know, and then you find out these big conglomerates own
yeah
all of the beers, and so it's hard to to be an all in on this. But Bud Light has still not recovered. I mean, it's moving again.
But it is.
Not nearly where it was before. And it's interesting because I just read an article the other day that is saying that globally, Bud Light is not as low as it was, but they're still in the double digits
yeah.
behind domestically.
And that's what I found too. This headline makes you think, people are over it. They're mm-hmm. buying Bud Light again. It's all back. And you're like, wait a second.
Yeah.
So I looked into it and they said, yeah, it has. I mean, even in the article, it says that it's bounced back. But I looked up what does bounce back mean.
Yeah.
And it's bounced back from its low.
Correct.
That doesn't mean it's anywhere near what it was.
No.
And I also, in the process, thought, well, I'm going to look up because really Bud Light and Target were the two that people really, it's like those cracked the consciousness because mm-hmm. there's these little things that happen all the time. And if you really want to boycott anybody who's done anything to like stifle conservative voices or whatever, you know, it's something that would offend the conservative palate, which I try to do, but I can't keep up.
Yeah.
If you try to keep up with these things, you almost can't. Like Burger King recently. Have you heard about this one?
No.
They, and this is within the last month or so, it's these kind of things where you go, well, I really am mad at you for doing that, but can I alter my life to accommodate this boycott? Yeah. And the answer is usually, no, I can't.
Right.
You're just too ingrained in me going to this place before soccer practice because it's right on the way, that kind of stuff, you know? So Burger King apparently pulled all their ads off of Rumble, either all off of Rumble or just off of Russell Brand's podcast on Rumble, because of the allegations against him. And I really don't know if there's been any movement on that story. I just know at the time, these were sexual assault allegations. So somebody just saying something with no real proof yet. Now, and it could be true, but if you're just going to pull ads or lob insults at somebody based just on allegations, it's where does it stop? Because then you can control, like, I could just go make an allegation against somebody and destroy their career and then be like, just kidding.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that. So my point being that now Burger King was kind of on the radar, but it didn't go anywhere.
Well, so my take on that is, first of all, Burger King was dead to me a long time ago because they ruined their fries.
Oh. Wait, what do you mean they ruined their fries?
They went through like four iterations of fry that they just kept changing. They used to be almost identical, even I would even argue in my childhood better than McDonald's fries.
Oh man, okay.
But that's going like
way back,
pre-automobile. So, but my take on the whole thing is the left has, they made a business out of boycotting because it was about shakedown. It was about, you know, basically telling people, if you don't pay me, we're going to boycott you, and I've got all these people behind me. So that's where your Jesse Jackson and your, you know, a lot of that Rainbow Coalition, all of that stuff was about just extorting businesses. The threat of boycott. And it was kind of ingrained into that 70s era protest movement of, oh, I'm doing something by,
yeah,
know, chaining myself.
Man, that movement must be inherent to humanity because we still see it now.
Yeah.
I mean, we are the most equal society that has ever existed, and people are frothing at the mouth trying to find something to protest.
Well, it was a tool of Marxist strategy,
yeah,
to take advantage of that in people and encourage it. And I think what the right did, we have traditionally not gotten into that. You know, let people do what they do, and we'll just either not go there or it's not worth the energy to make a big deal out of it. But then we got a little bit of blood in the water on the Target, and especially the Bud Light thing. And when it was like, oh, wait a minute, we can actually have an impact.
Yes.
And then I think people got, well, okay, let now, and you combine that with the fact that the time we're in, where everything conservative and Christian is getting assaulted, that people are like, oh, no, wait a minute, we have to fight back. But I think the fatigue that you're seeing is probably from the inherent conservativeness, is that it's not worth, like you said, I can't do anything. If I
yeah,
if I start blocking everybody who's, you know, we're stooping down to the level of the left. And I think you're right. It's inherent in humanity. It'll never go away from the far left. I think if there's a change, it's probably coming from the right. It's just like, it's just exhausting.
You know what? Let me pause you there, because I actually don't think there's been boycott fatigue. I mean, maybe a little bit, because you are seeing like the height of the boycott backed off of a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the article, I mean, it says, oh, consumers are hit by boycott fatigue. I'm looking at the article going, well, you have an angle too. You're trying to prove that conservatives have failed at this.
Mm.
And I looked up, it's hard to find data specific to Bud Light on your own. I mean, you can read articles, but I looked up articles and they're a month or two old. So I couldn't find anything that was really current on Bud Light, because it's part of AB, which is many, many brands.
Right.
So you can't just look at their stock price and see how it's doing. You can with Target, though. You can look at their stock price, and it is still now at its low. It has not come back at all. And you could say, oh, it's because of these other market trends. But I'm looking at other market trends going, those all benefit Target. Like they say, oh, consumer spending hasn't been hurt at all. Well, that would benefit Target. You know, I mean, these are the numbers that you see don't add up to Target being hurt. And it is still, I think it was at its peak earlier this year at about 180 per stock per share. And then it had come down to level out at about 160 because 180 was a peak.
Mm-hmm.
And it was there through pretty much the whole spring. And then the transgender swimming suit thing, whatever you want to call it, hit. And it dropped instantly down to about 120. Now, 110. So it's still at its low.
Well, it started with the bathroom thing, with Target.
Yes, and that's baked into this whole thing, is that yeah. people have been kind of like, you know, left eyeballing them for a while, going, what are you going to do? And then this was like the spark that lit. Okay, fine, we're finally done.
Well, let me give you my perspective. I mean, I certainly don't speak for all people.
You
as
do,
much as I'd like to.
For people with ED, you do.
Oh, well, yes. But for me, I haven't been to Target since all of that, since the bathroom thing.
Really?
And it started as kind of a boycott, but then it just got to be, there's so many other alternatives that it's just,
yeah.
I just soon not go. I'm not going because of that anymore. I'm not going because it's easier to do Amazon or to do, you know, to go somewhere else. And so it's probably, there's probably a lot of variables in this.
There always are.
But
yeah, I mean, we talked about 2 weeks ago now. Why does nobody go into the city anymore? Well, it's crime, but mm-hmm. it's not just crime. It's that COVID accelerated work from home and
right.
so many other things, too. So it's never just one thing. But I think this, you know, in conclusion to the whole story here, when you talk about all these brands that do these things that make people mad, we've never had a Bud Light before. We've never had a Target incident like this, like you just said, on the right, mm-hmm. that proved, hey, we have a voice in the marketplace.
Right.
This has now done that. So it's not that you have to boycott every single company. It's that you send that William Tell warning shot out and go, hey, it may not be you. You can put whatever you want on your package during June. And you can do that if you want to. This is a free country. But just be warned that it could be you next time. And companies, I think, have heard that and said and went, you know, it may not have stopped like full wokery when you walk through the grocery store, but it has put a check at the corporate level on thinking twice about those things that was not there before.
I think I agree with that. Surprisingly, it hasn't happened quicker because, you know, the conventional wisdom would be shareholders, stakeholders would be like, wait a minute, are my stocks dropping? And then there's all the legal elements of fiduciary responsibility that you would think some of that would have impacted. But it surprised me, still surprises me, how little impact that side of it has had on the decision making at the corporate.
Well,
level.
I think it takes a while for that boat to really turn. And the same people who were there, I mean, essentially, if you got elected to that board and you were there to enact social change, you're not going to stop.
Right.
But if you're there just to see a bottom line, if you're a traditional corporate board member, mm-hmm. you are going, oh, well, hang on now. Mm-hmm. And in that meeting room, you never had a reason to say anything until now you can go, hey, just so you know, we don't want to be the next Bud Light. And now you can say that. And I think that is happening. It does take time. But I just haven't seen as many incidents since then. And maybe we are in kind of a sweet spot where people are just a little afraid just for a minute, and then it'll go back to normal. But I really hope and think that maybe we have turned that corner. And, you know, if in a year you see another one of these happen, then you really know
yeah.
that, yes, conservatives are here. Their voice is being heard in the marketplace.
So watch out.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we've had old Roy in here. We got to get Trisha in here. That'll be next. This is a very, very short segment because I want to give us enough time to not only have Trisha back in, but also give you those predictions that I made on Tuesday. If you've been listening to this entire show, you know we've been talking about this. But if you just tuned in this hour and you haven't heard it at the very end of this hour, I'm going to play back a recording that I did. It's about 2 minutes long of my predictions on Tuesday for how the elections would turn out. Then I'm going to give you, obviously you'll hear the results of how I did. Then I'm going to give you what I think is going to happen now based on that. I think that's going to be pretty interesting. I've already done it once at the very beginning of the show. We'll do it again at the end of the show because I just find it fascinating. It's what I do. I watch polls, I read a lot of data, and I make predictions. And I think I did pretty good, but you'll hear that in just a few minutes. Happy Veterans Day or Veterans Day weekend. Thank you for being here with us on Wiggins America. One quick show recommendation that I want to give you, actually not a show, it's a movie. It's called The Giver. Now, if you've already seen this, great. But in the mid-2000s, there were a lot of movies like The Hunger Games and the Divergent series that came from novels, probably on the heels of Harry Potter and stuff. That's that young adult novel stuff that were being made into movies left and right. And it's because they were doing very well, both as novels and as movies. Well, The Giver, actually, the book predates all of them, but it's those coming-of-age stories, and they're kind of sci-fi, they're kind of post-apocalyptic kind of things, and the genre was doing really well, so Hollywood went back, grabbed The Giver, made it into a movie with Meryl Streep and Jeff Bridges, and it's really good if you haven't seen it, even that's not really your genre. The thing is, after it was made, they kind of buried it. It didn't get a whole lot of press, even though it was really good, because part of the plot is that they kill babies in the movie, and that is evil. That is presented as evil in the movie, that you can't just stick a needle in a baby's head and kill it and think that those are the good guys. Well, The Giver is a much bigger movie than just that plot point, so I suggest you see it, but that is a part of it, and, you know, always like to suggest when there's a plot line that somehow makes it through the Hollywood system that would support morality. It's called The Giver. We'll be right back with Trisha and more Wiggins America. And he asked me some questions about politics that when he does it, I love questions about philosophy and God and politics. And he seems to be getting there too. He's 9 years old. So what he did was ask me two political questions. And I'm going to ask you those questions.
Great.
Now, this could be... I've kind of let this float a little bit. We got a little bit of time, so either this is going to be a short segment, depending on how you answer them, or long, if you are like, oh, there's a lot to discuss here, you know? So it's up to you.
Let's see what happens. Let this breathe.
Let it happen.
All right.
So Sinjin gets in the car. We're driving. And I don't know, maybe we were listening to 97. Well, I don't know what spurred it.
You should have been.
I usually am. It was. I think actually it was. I think it was Jimmy Fallon we were listening to. And... He says, Dad, do people like Joe Biden? Go.
I think that as a general rule, outside of the politics, yes, I do think people like Joe Biden.
Explain.
I believe that he gives people this, like, well, I mean, under the Obama administration as the vice president, he was cool Uncle Joe with the sunglasses, and that there was a whole vibe. Like, that administration positioned him as, like, your buddy and, like, the guy that's around that you can, like, you know, you know, shoot the
breeze
with.
I mean, he was on Parks and Rec.
He was on Parks and Rec. Leslie Knope was, yeah, loved Joe Biden. I think that this presidency has a lot of people watching, the even, like, casual observers watching TikTok or Instagram Reels going, about his capabilities, but I don't know that that makes him any less likable. Yeah, I think people like Joe Biden.
Well, that's an interesting answer, because a lot of things went through my mind, because there's a lot of ways to answer that. But I'm also trying to answer this to a nine-year-old,
right,
and not going, well, he was very likable when they had the image of him being the vice president wearing aviators. Because, like, none of this makes any sense to him. Right?
Okay, so you want me to answer it like I would to a nine-year-old?
No. I mean, I just wanted to see how you would answer it. I guess, actually, put yourself in my shoes now.
Sure.
And answer that question.
I would say, Sinjin, I think that there are a lot of people in this country that do like Joe Biden. I think there are also a lot of people in this country that do not think he's doing a good job running this country. And some of those people are the same people. That there are some people that probably like him as a person, as a public figure, but not as their president.
Okay, so here's what went through my mind when he asked the question. He asked it, and about 50 things pop. How do I answer? And the first one was, well, half of the country doesn't, and half the country does. Actually, that's not true. Half the country being Democrats. I look, recent polling, 75% of Democrats don't want him to run. My answer, no.
But you're speaking completely politically.
I am speaking completely politically. And I think that's what he was asking.
You think he was asking just, do people like him as the president? Because that's not what he asked.
I think so.
He said,
yeah, I think he was asking, do people like the current president? Do people like Joe Biden? And based on all the poll figures that went through my mind at that moment, it was like a beautiful mind, you know, where all the numbers are floating in front of
obviously.
You and you're trying to grab them and you're writing in the air and things are happening.
Yeah.
It was like that for me.
Mm-hmm.
And they all went through my
peripheral.
This
is super safe when you're driving. I'm glad you were driving with the child in the car.
Yeah. And Jimmy Fallon playing.
And Jimmy Fallon.
And I just said,
No.
And I thought, you know what?
I think you're correct. People don't like him as the president.
Yeah.
But I think that it's more nuanced than that. I think as a public figure, overall, he's been, I think a majority of the American people would say there was a time in their lives that they liked Joe Biden.
Okay. Now, that's the first question. So I just said no.
Okay.
And he goes, okay. Then he asked, Dad, does Joe Biden take bribes? Now, I would love to hear your answer to this question, both, you know, on a radio show and how you would answer a nine-year-old.
I think that there's a lot of evidence to support the fact that the Biden family has been compromised.
That's kind of what I was going to do.
To a nine-year-old, I don't know, buddy. There are a lot of people that think he does.
Yeah. Do you want to know my answer?
Yes.
Again, beautiful mind. Figures running, and I'm going back to all the House investigation stuff. And I got it. Like, I'm sifting through, how do I answer this question? And then it was yes.
Yep.
But that's how simple this stuff looks now. And I think that was what was kind of neat for me is we always ask the alien question. If an alien came to Earth and asked a question like this, how would you answer it? Because they have no background. They haven't been a part of the discussion.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where he's at. You know, he's hearing just little snippets of things every now and then. I don't really talk a lot of politics with him. I talk more about God and life and lessons and whatever, you know, stuff that's going to last way beyond this moment. So I don't know where he's hearing this, but it might be that he's in the car with me when I have the station on. That might be all it is. But he asked, does Joe Biden take bribes? Yes. Like, it really looks like
It he really has taken looks brands. Like he yeah. has.
And I don't know what other evidence we would need to see than what we've seen from James Comer, especially, and the House Investigative Committee. Like, these committees have proved stuff that if we had honest media, like, put a different name on it, put Trump on it or whatever, this stuff would be all over the place, and the majority of the country would understand, yes, given the evidence that we have, that looks like somebody who's been taking bribes for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And so I don't even think it's really a question. And that's what I came back to, is that we sit here, we discuss, we try to analyze, but we've gotten so much on that topic now that I don't even think there's really a question that he's taken bribes. The question is, how much of that money was he getting at this point? And what was he doing in return?
I tend to agree with you.
Yeah.
If a 9-year-old asked me, I probably wouldn't say it so point blank, because it is nuanced, but it's not my 9-year-old. So, mm-hmm. you know, like, my fear, without being able to explain all of the evidence behind it, would be that a kid would be like, go to the next person and be like, Joe Biden for sure takes bribes. And then it would cause it, you know, it would cause a fight. And how do you know that? And why do you know that? And my mom says he doesn't. And, mm-hmm. you know, politics are so. So I don't think that you did the wrong thing. I just think that it would be a unique challenge to try to discuss politics with children.
Mm-hmm.
Because even adults haven't got it figured out. Like, even adults
right.
can't have a discussion about it oftentimes
that's objective,
that is objective, that doesn't devolve, that doesn't that ends with a right, because so much of it is like, if they have hard evidence that Joe Biden took bribes, which they probably do, and I'm not like discrediting that, but they talk around it so much that nobody has, like, nobody said, like, here's a piece of paper that shows Joe Biden took bribes, yeah. and here's the consequences for doing that.
Well,
so we've just been months and years, and, you
like,
know.
Like, there has been all this mounting evidence for so long, and then James Comer comes out and says, we have it. We mm-hmm. now have the bank document that shows not just money going through the family, but to him from a foreign government. And you know what happened? That was the same weekend as Hamas.
It was. Well, but that bank document, it was, there's still that little bit of, there's a small leap in logic, because there was a phone call and then the wire transfer came through
right,
after
right.
that phone call.
Yeah.
And a logical person can put those two things together, but they don't have the like exact proof of
yeah.
that like in between connection either.
Yeah.
So it's still like,
and there's
these
so much I want to
small
say about
nuances that
like
it's the,
if
just
this
like,
was presented.
I can't imagine a kid asking me that, because I'd
yeah.
be like, buddy, yes, but I cannot tell you
exactly
like exactly how
yeah.
to explain that
but
it's real
I think
to somebody.
We're to the point that a rational person, given this plain evidence, take the names off of it, just given the evidence, you go, well, I mean, yeah, that looks like somebody's taking bribes. So I was like, well,
yeah,
there's nothing
yeah.
more.
That, which is true.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
And I don't, I think that was, it was a kindness to your son to just be like, nope, yep.
Yeah, I do too. All right, we're going to take a short break. And if you haven't heard my predictions that I recorded on Tuesday, I'm going to play those back in the next segment. You can tell me how I did. If you listen to the beginning of the show, then sorry, I'm going to do basically the same thing here. On Tuesday, the day of the election, before we had any results coming in, so right up until the moment when I wouldn't have known, I went ahead and walked into this here studio and recorded myself giving predictions for the big four. They would have been Kentucky governor, the Virginia legislature, which is two. It's actually the House of Delegates and the Senate. That's three of them right there. And then the Ohio abortion amendment, or whatever they're calling it. Those four things, I made my predictions on how they would turn out. Now, I'm going to play back my predictions here shortly. I made it into a little piece called Today in Time Travel. Normally with Today in Time Travel, if we do that segment, we're taking this day in history and we look back at what happened in this day 1 year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, sometimes 1,000 years ago, if there's anything that happened. This time, I'm just doing Today in Time Travel back to Tuesday. So I used an old-timey radio filter, and here it is.
Today in Time Travel.
All right, I was going to use my old-timey radio voice for this whole segment, but that would be annoying after 2 minutes. I will try to keep this thing to 2 minutes, though, and just use the old-timey radio filter. So let me start with Kentucky. This is going to be a tough one to call based on the polls. And, of course, I'm saying this right now, recorded on Tuesday, so that I can be on the record. that right now, Andy Beshear, the Democrat, should win that race based on the polling. The problem is, and here's what polls do. Here's what they like to do a lot. Within the last week, right before the election, they tighten them. That keeps their credibility because they can say, well, yes, it did say this, but then right before it, I said this. So they shape a narrative the whole time. Then all of a sudden, right before it, oh, it's very, very, very tight. So Emerson, in particular, at the beginning of October, had Beshear, the Democrat, up by 16. And as of last week, they had Cameron up by one. That is a 17-point flip. So this is really hard to predict. And the other thing about these is that there are very few polls. We have just Emerson and Data for Progress, which is a Democrat poll. Like, that's their job, is to do Democrat polling. That's it. I mean, that's pretty much all you have. And you have a right-leaning poll called Signal that's a Republican poll. That's it. So this is really hard to read the polls on this, but if you want to just make a generalization, you're going to say Beshear, the Democrat, will still win that one just based on the momentum, which seemed to be shifting right before the election if you look at the polls. Now, the other ones are very, very even more difficult and more specific because in Virginia, you're talking about such small elections that you really don't have polls, and if you do, you have one poll from a more local source like a ABC 12 or something in Richmond, you know, whatever. So that you just don't have much. So I'm telling you, just my gut, I think Republicans will lose the House barely and not gain back the Senate, as in they'll lose a couple seats overall. And this is just my gut prediction. Okay. With the Ohio ballot measure, I can go into this in greater detail, but right now, just for prediction purposes and to keep this short, I'm going to say that people will vote for abortion in Ohio. There you go.
Wow. Wiggins America.
All right. That's my accountability to you, is going on record, recording that on Tuesday to say, here's what I think is going to happen. And hopefully I've gained your trust now. I'm a polls guy. I'm a data guy, really. I get labeled as a polls guy. But ultimately, what I look at is all the data available. That would include polls, but it would include voter registration. It would include voting trends. It would include elections like this. All of these things are barometers for what the country is feeling.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And he asked me some questions about politics that when he does it, I love questions about philosophy and God and politics. And he seems to be getting there, too. He's 9 years old. So what he did was ask me two political questions, and I'm going to ask you those questions.
Great.
Now, this could be, I've kind of let this float a little bit. We got a little bit of time, so either this is going to be a short segment, depending on how you answer them, or long, if you are like, oh, there's a lot to discuss here, you know? So it's up to you.
All right, let's see what happens.
Let it happen.
All right.
So Sinjin gets in the car. We're driving. And I don't know, maybe we were listening to 97. Well, I don't know what spurred it.
You should have been.
I usually am. I think it was Jimmy Fallon we were listening to. And he says, Dad, do people like Joe Biden? Go.
I think that as a general rule, outside of the politics, yes, I do think people like Joe Biden.
Explain.
I believe that he gives people this, like, well, I mean, under the Obama administration as the vice president, he was cool Uncle Joe with the sunglasses, and that there was a whole vibe. Like, that administration positioned him as, like, your buddy and, like, the guy that's around that you can, like, you know, you know, shoot the breeze
with. I mean, he was on Parks and Rec.
He was on Parks and Rec. Leslie Knope was, yeah, loved Joe Biden. I think that this presidency has a lot of people watching, the even, like, casual observers watching TikTok or Instagram Reels going, about his capabilities, but I don't know that that makes him any less likable. Yeah, I think people like Joe Biden.
Well, that's an interesting answer, because a lot of things went through my mind, because there's a lot of ways to answer that. But I'm also trying to answer this to a nine-year-old,
right,
and not going, well, he was very likable when they had the image of him being the vice president wearing aviators. Because, like, none of this makes any sense to him. Right?
Okay, so you want me to answer it like I would to a nine-year-old?
No. I mean, I just wanted to see how you would answer it. I guess, actually, put yourself in my shoes now.
Sure.
And answer that question.
I would say, Sinjin, I think that there are a lot of people in this country that do like Joe Biden. I think there are also a lot of people in this country that do not think he's doing a good job running this country. And some of those people are the same people. That there are some people that probably like him as a person, as a public figure, but not as their president.
Okay. So here's what went through my mind when he asked the question. He asked it, and about 50 things pop, 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 pop. How do I answer? And the first one was, well, half of the country doesn't, and half the country does. Actually, that's not true. Half the country being Democrats. I look, recent polling, 75% of Democrats don't want him to run. My answer, no.
But you're speaking completely politically.
I am speaking completely politically. And I think that's what he was asking.
You think he was asking just, do people like him as the president? Because that's not what he asked.
I think so.
He said,
yeah, I think he was asking, do people like the current president? Do people like Joe Biden? And based on all the poll figures that went through my mind at that moment, it was like a beautiful mind, you know, where all the numbers are floating in front of
obviously.
You and you're trying to grab them and you're writing in the air and things are happening.
Yeah.
It was like that for me. Mm-hmm. And they all went through my
peripheral.
This
is super safe when you're driving. I'm glad you were driving with the child in the car.
Yeah. And Jimmy Fallon playing.
And Jimmy Fallon.
And I just said,
No.
And I thought, you know what?
I think you're correct. People don't like him as the president.
Yeah.
But I think that it's more nuanced than that. I think as a public figure, overall, he's been, I think a majority of the American people would say there was a time in their lives that they liked Joe Biden.
Okay. Now, that's the first question. So I just said no.
Okay.
And he goes, okay. Then he asked, Dad, does Joe Biden take bribes? Now, I would love to hear your answer to this question, both, you know, on a radio show and how you would answer a nine-year-old.
I think that there's a lot of evidence to support the fact that the Biden family has been compromised.
That's kind of what I was going to do.
To a nine-year-old, I don't know, buddy. There are a lot of people that think he does.
Yeah. Do you want to know my answer?
Yes.
Again, beautiful mind. Figures running, and I'm going back to all the House investigation stuff. Mm-hmm. And I got it. Like, I'm sifting through, how do I answer this question?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But that's how simple this stuff looks now. And I think that was what was kind of neat for me is we always ask the alien question. If an alien came to Earth and asked a question like this, mm-hmm. how would you answer it? Because they have no background. They haven't been a part of the discussion.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where he's at. You know, he's hearing just little snippets of things every now and then. I don't really talk a lot of politics with him. I talk more about God and life and
sure.
lessons and whatever, you know, stuff that's going to last way beyond this moment. So I don't know where he's hearing this, but and it might be that he's in the car with me when I have the station on. That mm-hmm. might be all it is. But he asked, does Joe Biden take bribes? Yes. Like, it really looks like
it
he
really
has taken
looks
brands.
Like he yeah. has.
And it I don't know what other evidence we would need to see than what we've seen from James Comer, especially, and the House Investigative Committee. Like, these committees have proved stuff that if we had honest media, like, put a different name on it, put Trump on it or whatever, this stuff would be all over the place, and the majority of the country would understand, yes, given the evidence that we have, that looks like somebody who's been taking bribes for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And so I don't even think it's really a question. And that's what I came back to, is that we sit here, we discuss, we try to analyze, but we've gotten so much on that topic now that I don't even think there's really a question that he's taken bribes. The question is, how much of that money was he getting at this point? And what was he doing in return?
I tend to agree with you.
Yeah.
If a 9-year-old asked me, I probably wouldn't say it so point blank, because it is nuanced, but it's not my 9-year-old. So, mm-hmm. you know, like, my fear, without being able to explain all of the evidence behind it, would be that a kid would be like, go to the next person and be like, Joe Biden for sure takes bribes. And then it would cause it, you know, it would cause a fight. And how do you know that? And why do you know that? And my mom says he doesn't. And, mm-hmm. you know, politics are so. So I don't think that you did the wrong thing. I just think that it would be a unique challenge to try to discuss politics with children.
Mm-hmm.
Because even adults haven't got it figured out. Like, even adults
right.
can't have a discussion about it oftentimes.
That's objective, yeah.
That is objective, that doesn't devolve, that doesn't,
yeah.
That ends with a right, because so much of it is, like, if they have hard evidence that Joe Biden took bribes, which they probably do, and I'm not, like, discrediting that, but they talk around it so much that nobody has, like, nobody said, like, here's a piece of paper that shows Joe Biden took bribes, yeah. and here's the consequences for doing that.
Well,
so we've just been months and years, and, you
like,
know.
There has been all this mounting evidence for so long, and then James Comer comes out and says, we have it. We mm-hmm. now have the bank document that shows not just money going through the family, but to him from a foreign government. And you know what happened? That was the same weekend as Hamas.
It was. Well, but that bank document, it was, there's still that little bit of, there's a small leap in logic, because there was a phone call and then the wire transfer came through
right,
after
right.
that phone call.
Yeah.
And a logical person can put those two things together, but they don't have the, like, exact proof of
yeah.
that, like, in-between connection either.
Yeah.
So it's still, like,
and there's so much I want to say
about nuances that,
like,
it's
if
just
this
like,
was presented,
I can't imagine a kid asking me that, because I'd
yeah.
be like, buddy, yes, but I cannot tell you
exactly,
like, exactly how
yeah.
to explain that
but
it's real
I think
to somebody.
We're to the point that a rational person, given this plain evidence, take the names off of it, just given the evidence, you go, well, I mean, yeah, that looks like somebody's taking bribes. So I was like, well,
yeah,
there's nothing
yeah.
more.
That, which is true.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
And I don't, I think that was, it was a kindness to your son to just be like, nope, yep.
Yeah, I do too. All right, we're going to take a short break. And if you haven't heard my predictions that I recorded on Tuesday, I'm going to play those back in the next segment. You can tell me how I did. If you listen to the beginning of the show, then sorry, I'm going to do basically the same thing here. On Tuesday, the day of the election, before we had any results coming in, so right up until the moment when I wouldn't have known, I went ahead and walked into this here studio and recorded myself giving predictions for the big four. They would have been Kentucky governor, the Virginia legislature, which is two. It's actually the House of Delegates and the Senate. That's three of them right there. And then the Ohio abortion amendment, or whatever they're calling it. Those four things, I made my predictions on how they would turn out. Now, I'm going to play back my predictions here shortly. I made it into a little piece called Today in Time Travel. Normally with Today in Time Travel, if we do that segment, we're taking this day in history and we look back at what happened in this day 1 year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, sometimes 1,000 years ago, if there's anything that happened. This time, I'm just doing Today in Time Travel back to Tuesday. So I used an old-timey radio filter, and here it is.
Today in time travel.
All right, I was going to use my old-timey radio voice for this whole segment, but that would be annoying after 2 minutes. I will try to keep this thing to 2 minutes, though, and just use the old-timey radio filter. So let me start with Kentucky. This is going to be a tough one to call based on the polls. And, of course, I'm saying this right now, recorded on Tuesday, so that I can be on the record. That right now, Andy Beshear, the Democrat, should win that race based on the polling. The problem is, and here's what polls do. Here's what they like to do a lot. Within the last week, right before the election, they tighten them. That keeps their credibility because they can say, well, yes, it did say this, but then right before it, I said this. So they shape a narrative the whole time. Then all of a sudden, right before it, oh, it's very, very, very tight. So Emerson, in particular, at the beginning of October, had Beshear, the Democrat, up by 16. And as of last week, they had Cameron up by one. That is a 17-point flip. So this is really hard to predict. And the other thing about these is that there are very few polls. We have just Emerson and Data for Progress, which is a Democrat poll. Like, that's their job, is to do Democrat polling. That's it. I mean, that's pretty much all you have. And you have a right-leaning poll called Signal that's a Republican poll. That's it. So this is really hard to read the polls on this, but if you want to just make a generalization, you're going to say Beshear, the Democrat, will still win that one just based on the momentum, which seemed to be shifting right before the election if you look at the polls. Now, the other ones are very, very even more difficult and more specific because in Virginia, you're talking about such small elections that you really don't have polls, and if you do, you have one poll from a more local source like a ABC 12 or something in Richmond, you know, whatever. So that you just don't have much. So I'm telling you just my gut. I think Republicans will lose the House barely and not gain back the Senate. As in, they'll lose a couple seats overall. And this is just my gut prediction, okay? With the Ohio ballot measure, I can go into this in greater detail, but right now, just for prediction purposes and to keep this short, I'm going to say that people will vote for abortion in Ohio. There you go.
Wow, Wiggins America.
All right, that's my accountability to you, is going on record, recording that on Tuesday, to say, here's what I think is going to happen. And hopefully I've gained your trust now. I'm a polls guy. I'm a data guy, really. I get labeled as a polls guy. But ultimately, what I look at is all the data available. That would include polls, but it would include voter registration. It would include voting trends. It would include elections like this. All of these things are barometers for what the country is feeling, where it's going, where it's headed, and how it's going to vote. I went 4 for 4 there. I actually went 6 for 6 because I predicted the Mississippi governor, too. I didn't say it there, but I did these things maybe on the Andy Fry Show this week. So 4 for 4 is what I'll say, though. The big races, the Kentucky governor, the Virginia House of Delegates, the Virginia Senate, and the Ohio abortion measure, I predicted all of those things correctly, and it's just because I watch data. So if I have your trust now, which is all I'm trying to do, I'm not trying to sort of say, hey, look at how great I did, because I won't get it 100% every time. But if I have your trust that I can read these things and kind of make predictions, we're a year out, first of all. So anything I say about 2024, if COVID happens between now and then, all bets are out the window. Things can change. Things will change. But I'm telling you right now that my prediction, as I said at the beginning of the show today, is that we are going to see Trump versus Biden. I've been saying this since 2020. I know that a lot of my, not only colleagues here, but like colleagues within conservative radio and media, and even just political media, I'm among the minority who think Biden is still going to be the nominee. Most people don't think he's going to be the nominee. They just think he's too weak and that the machine is going to replace him and that they already are kind of doing that, like they're setting it up. But they just keep setting it up. That's my point. Every day that goes by that he's still the guy, he's still the guy. You know, this isn't 3 months ago. This is now November of 2023. We're talking about a year out, and we're talking about primaries starting pretty soon, you know, within a couple months. So the closer we get, the more it's looking like I am going to be right on that. I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I'm just saying that I'm just reading the room. I'm reading data. I'm looking at trends, historical trends even, and saying that, A, it is going to be Trump, which a lot of people a year ago were not saying. They're going, oh, DeSantis has all the momentum. People don't want a Trump again. Well, it's going to be Trump. You can see that happening. It's also going to be Biden. Now, unless he has a stroke or something, and that could happen to anybody, unless something completely outside the realm of predictability happens, I'm saying it is going to be Biden. Here's one of the reasons it is because of Tuesday. You go, what the? Oh, because Democrats did well on Tuesday, right? Yes, they did. Well, why did they do well? Everybody's saying it's because of abortion. Do you know what I say? They're right. It is because of abortion. It's because abortion is driving turnout. All the polls and everything that I mention all the time, they're indicative of a general sentiment, especially when you look at swing states and things like that. You know, that's indicative. And earlier this week, we had a whole bunch of polls come out, not just from New York Times, Siena, but others too, that showed that Trump is leading not even barely anymore. Those polls were saying that he was leading significantly. So, again, you know, we're a 50-50 country, though. The point of looking at those things is just general sentiment. And right now, general sentiment is moving toward Trump while you have local elections in Virginia and Ohio especially, and to some degree Kentucky, although it was a little bit different, showing that abortion drove turnout. It did in Virginia. It did in Ohio. And it will in 2024. Get ready for it, because between now and then, now we're in Missouri, so I don't know, and Illinois, two states that don't really have a whole lot of swing to them anymore. Missouri probably in the last 20 years did, but it doesn't really anymore. So we're not going to see quite as many national ads as you would in Philadelphia or Atlanta or Phoenix. But in those states and those cities especially, you're going to see nothing but abortion from Democrat spenders, and they're going to spend a lot because they are in these little elections even, because that is literally the only thing that they have that is driving voter turnout right now. And since it's all about turnout, since we're a 50-50 country, that's all that matters. Now you go, Ryan, well, that doesn't sound like great news for Republicans in 2024. Here's why it is. Democrats have nothing else to run on. And these elections, while elections are good barometers for elections, these elections much more mirrored what was happening locally. Why do you say that, Ryan? Well, because abortion has become a state's issue. It's not a national issue anymore. So when it's voted on at the state level, which is what you saw in two of those three states, there's a swing back. Anytime you have big social change, something big happens. The other side campaigns hard because people just don't like change. You could say any issue you want. I always use the Obamacare example of 2008 when that was passed in, I think, 2009, actually. Republicans ran on that for a decade and won. They had one of the biggest midterm turnouts ever in 2010. They ran on it and ran on it and ran on it, and they won on it a lot. That's going to happen now to Republicans in reverse because of Roe versus Wade. It was an atomic bomb in the political world dropped, and now Democrats are getting huge turnout because of it. But in 2024, and I'll end on this, Biden will be the nominee because they now see abortion as unbeatable. They will say, oh, you know what? It doesn't even matter if it is Biden. It was going to be tough to get him out anyway because I think he thinks he's going to run. And so if he says he's going to run, it's really hard to dislodge somebody who's already the president, who's saying they're going to run from running. It just is. Even if you're the DNC and you're the machine, it's hard. But now they're going to say, you know what, we'll have to just embrace this. And yes, he's a weak candidate, but now we've got our issue. Now we've got the way that we can beat Trump and Republicans in 2024. And he will be the nominee because of that, because they've been emboldened by that one issue. However, Trump is going to win that. If it's Trump, Biden, and maybe even RFK and Cornel West, if you include them in there, they're not insignificant factors in this election, by the way. Trump will win this election simply because he alone drives turnout like nobody in my lifetime ever has. And when it's all about turnout and every other issue other than that one of abortion is trending in your favor, that's a favorable election for you. Donald Trump is very divisive, so people say, oh, he drives turnout on both sides. But he drives turnout from non-voting Republicans more than anybody. More than anybody. He just does. So if even he gets the same as he did in 2020, for instance, Democrats are not going to get the same turnout for Joe Biden in 2024 as they did in 2020. Because Trump, he's going to be the same, pretty much. That's my prediction right now. His turnout is going to be pretty much the same, and Biden's going to be lower. And you'll see a Trump win for that reason. We'll end the show there. Hey, you don't have to agree with me. All I'm saying is I just played the audio, my predictions. I went 4 for 4. I look at a lot of data. Take it for what it's worth. You can get this podcast and you can listen to more analysis. I did this again at the beginning of the show if you want. By typing in WigginsAmerica.com. Love it if you do get the podcast. That all counts toward the numbers. It's all about that, right? We'll see you next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.
If you listen to the beginning of the show, then sorry, I'm going to do basically the same thing here. On Tuesday, the day of the election, before we had any results coming in, so right up until the moment when I wouldn't have known, I went ahead and walked into this here studio and recorded myself giving predictions for the big four. They would have been Kentucky governor, the Virginia legislature, which is two. It's actually the House of Delegates and the Senate. That's three of them right there. And then the Ohio abortion amendment or whatever they're calling it. those four things, I made my predictions on how they would turn out. Now, I'm going to play back my predictions here shortly. I made it into a little piece called Today in Time Travel. Normally with Today in Time Travel, if we do that segment, we're taking this day in history and we look back at what happened in this day 1 year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, sometimes 1,000 years ago, if there's anything that happened. This time, I'm just doing Today in Time Travel back to Tuesday. So I used an old-timey radio filter, and here it is. All right, I was going to use my old-timey radio voice for this whole segment, but that would be annoying after 2 minutes. I will try to keep this thing to 2 minutes, though, and just use the old-timey radio filter. So let me start with Kentucky. This is going to be a tough one to call based on the polls. And, of course, I'm saying this right now, recorded on Tuesday, so that I can be on the record, that right now, Andy Beshear, the Democrat, should win that race based on the polling. The problem is, and here's what polls do. Here's what they like to do a lot. Within the last week, right before the election, they tighten them. That keeps their credibility because they can say, well, yes, it did say this, but then right before it, I said this. So they shape a narrative the whole time. Then all of a sudden, right before it, oh, it's very, very, very tight. So Emerson, in particular, at the beginning of October, had Beshear, the Democrat, up by 16. And as of last week, they had Cameron up by 1. That is a 17-point flip. So this is really hard to predict. And the other thing about these is that there are very few polls. We have just Emerson and Data for Progress, which is a Democrat poll. Like, that's their job, is to do Democrat polling. That's it. And that's pretty much all you have. And you have a right-leaning poll called Signal that's a Republican poll. That's it. So this is really hard to read the polls on this, but if you want to just make a generalization, you're going to say Beshear, the Democrat, will still win that one just based on the momentum, which seemed to be shifting right before the election if you look at the polls. Now, the other ones are very, very even more difficult and more specific because in Virginia, you're talking about such small elections that you really don't have polls, and if you do, you have one poll from a more local source like a ABC 12 or something in Richmond, you know, whatever. So that you just don't have much. So I'm telling you, just my gut, I think Republicans will lose the House barely and not gain back the Senate. As in, they'll lose a couple seats overall. And this is just my gut prediction, okay? With the Ohio ballot measure, I can go into this in greater detail, but right now, just for prediction purposes and to keep this short, I'm going to say that people will vote for abortion in Ohio. There you go.
Wow. Wiggins America.
All right. That's my accountability to you, is going on record, recording that on Tuesday, to say, here's what I think is going to happen. And hopefully I've gained your trust now. I'm a polls guy. I'm a data guy, really. I get labeled as a polls guy, but ultimately what I look at is all the data available. That would include polls, but it would include voter registration. It would include voting trends. It would include elections like this. All of these things are barometers for what the country is feeling, where it's going, where it's headed, and how it's going to vote. I went 4 for 4 there. I actually went 6 for 6 because I predicted the Mississippi governor too. I didn't say it there, but I did these things maybe on the Andy Fry Show this week. So 4 for 4 is what I'll say, though. The big races, the Kentucky governor, the Virginia House of Delegates, the Virginia Senate, and the Ohio abortion measure, I predicted all of those things correctly, and it's just because I watch data. So if I have your trust now, which is all I'm trying to do, I'm not trying to sort of say, hey, look at how great I did, because I won't get it 100% every time. But if I have your trust that I can read these things and kind of make predictions, we're a year out, first of all. So anything I say about 2024, if COVID happens between now and then, all bets are out the window. Things can change. Things will change. But I'm telling you right now that my prediction, as I said at the beginning of the show today, is that we are going to see Trump versus Biden. I've been saying this since 2020. I know that a lot of my, not only colleagues here, but like colleagues within conservative radio and media, and even just political media, I'm among the minority who think Biden is still going to be the nominee. Most people don't think he's going to be the nominee. They just think he's too weak and that the machine is going to replace him and that they already are kind of doing that, like they're setting it up. But they just keep setting it up. That's my point. Every day that goes by that he's still the guy, he's still the guy. You know, this isn't 3 months ago. This is now November of 2023. We're talking about a year out, and we're talking about primaries starting pretty soon, you know, within a couple months. So the closer we get, the more it's looking like I am going to be right on that. I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I'm just saying that I'm just reading the room. I'm reading data. I'm looking at trends, historical trends even, and saying that, A, it is going to be Trump, which a lot of people a year ago were not saying. They're going, oh, DeSantis has all the momentum. People don't want a Trump again. Well, it's going to be Trump. You can see that happening. It's also going to be Biden. Now, unless he has a stroke or something, and that could happen to anybody, unless something completely outside the realm of predictability happens, I'm saying it is going to be Biden. Here's one of the reasons it is because of Tuesday. You go, what the? Oh, because Democrats did well on Tuesday, right? Yes, they did. Well, why did they do well? Everybody's saying it's because of abortion. Do you know what I say? They're right. It is because of abortion. It's because abortion is driving turnout. All the polls and everything that I mention all the time, they're indicative of a general sentiment, especially when you look at swing states and things like that. You know, that's indicative. And earlier this week, we had a whole bunch of polls come out, not just from New York Times, Siena, but others too, that showed that Trump is leading not even barely anymore. Those polls were saying that he was leading significantly. So, again, you know, we're a 50-50 country, though. The point of looking at those things is just general sentiment. And right now, general sentiment is moving toward Trump while you have local elections in Virginia and Ohio especially, and to some degree Kentucky, although it was a little bit different, showing that abortion drove turnout. It did in Virginia. It did in Ohio. And it will in 2024. Get ready for it, because between now and then, now we're in Missouri, so I don't know, and Illinois, two states that don't really have a whole lot of swing to them anymore. Missouri probably in the last 20 years did, but it doesn't really anymore. So we're not going to see quite as many national ads as you would in Philadelphia or Atlanta or Phoenix. But in those states and those cities especially, you're going to see nothing but abortion from Democrat spenders, and they're going to spend a lot because they are in these little elections even. Because that is literally the only thing that they have that is driving voter turnout right now. And since it's all about turnout, since we're a 50-50 country, that's all that matters. Now you go, Ryan, well, that doesn't sound like great news for Republicans in 2024. Here's why it is.
Democrats have nothing else to run on. And these elections, while elections are good barometers for elections, these elections much more mirrored what was happening locally. Why do you say that, Ryan? Well, because abortion has become a state's issue. It's not a national issue anymore. So when it's voted on at the state level, which is what you saw in two of those three states, there's a swing back. Anytime you have big social change, something big happens. The other side campaigns hard because people just don't like change. You can say any issue you want. I always use the Obamacare example of 2008 when that was passed in, I think, 2009, actually. Republicans ran on that for a decade and won. They had one of the biggest midterm turnouts ever in 2010. They ran on it and ran on it and ran on it, and they won on it a lot. That's going to happen now to Republicans in reverse because of Roe versus Wade. It was an atomic bomb in the political world dropped, and now Democrats are getting huge turnout because of it. But in 2024, and I'll end on this, Biden will be the nominee because they now see abortion as unbeatable. They will say, oh, you know what? It doesn't even matter if it is Biden. It was going to be tough to get him out anyway because I think he thinks he's going to run. And so if he says he's going to run, it's really hard to dislodge somebody who's already the president who's saying they're going to run from running. It just is. Even if you're the DNC and you're the machine, it's hard. But now they're going to say, you know what? We'll have to just embrace this. And yes, he's a weak candidate. But now we've got our issue. Now we've got the way that we can beat Trump and Republicans in 2024. And he will be the nominee because of that, because they've been emboldened by that one issue. However, Trump is going to win that if it's Trump, Biden, and maybe even RFK and Cornel West, if you include them in there. They're not insignificant factors in this election, by the way. Trump will win this election simply because he alone drives turnout like nobody in my lifetime ever has. And when it's all about turnout, and every other issue other than that one of abortion is trending in your favor, that's a favorable election for you. Donald Trump is very divisive, so people say, oh, he drives turnout on both sides. But he drives turnout from non-voting Republicans more than anybody. More than anybody. He just does. So if even he gets the same as he did in 2020, for instance, Democrats are not going to get the same turnout for Joe Biden in 2024 as they did in 2020. Because Trump, he's going to be the same, pretty much. That's my prediction right now. His turnout is going to be pretty much the same, and Biden's going to be lower. And you'll see a Trump win for that reason. We'll end the show there. Hey, you don't have to agree with me. All I'm saying is I just played the audio, my predictions. I went 4 for 4. I look at a lot of data. Take it for what it's worth. You can get this podcast and you can listen to more analysis. I did this again at the beginning of the show if you want by typing in WigginsAmerica.com. Love it if you do get the podcast. That all counts toward the numbers. It's all about that, right? We'll see you next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.